Hi, Jason.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Couple That Scares Together. And I'm Nicole, and this is Jason. And that crash you heard is Moose.
That was our dog in the background.
Our dog on a buck, who I think would like to go to bed. But we're not. We're up and we're podcasting because our little people are asleep. So, hello, everybody. I hope you had a great week and we're delighted to be back with you. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about, I got a request about altars, home altars or traveling altars or altars in general. And the next sort of turn of the wheel celebration in block is coming up. So some full moon stuff that's on the horizon and what happens next a little bit. That's what we're going to talk about tonight.
Sounds great. And I'm going to discuss the doomsday clock.
So I will draw you in with some positivity and
I will bring you down.
Jason will leave you on a sour note.
With some talk of the doomsday clock.
Fantastic. All right. Away we go.
And away we go.
Okay. So tonight, this sort of came to us because we had more than a couple fan requests that asked me to do a couple things. To talk a little bit more about deities, which we will do. I'm going to mention one tonight, but don't worry, that more to come in the next episodes. And also talked about just some specific things that I do in my house and we do as a family. Because it now is sort of a family affair to celebrate the turn of the wheels, to celebrate seasons, to celebrate and honor deities just a little bit, the whole sort of thing. So I'm going to talk about that. Okay?
Sure, let's go.
Okay. So, but before we do that, we just had a new moon, and a new moon is great for intention setting, absolutely. And then we're moving into a full moon, which the next full moon is February 5th. So that is a quickening moon that's approaching, and I thought I wanted to share something with you that I saw that I thought was interesting. So this is about the word hocus pocus. I don't know if you've ever heard where this comes from.
The movie?
I love the movies.
But it's the actual
words.
Term itself, mm-hmm. Hocus pocus.
The hocus pocus, yes. So during the 1600s.
Can I make a guess?
Go ahead.
I think that the term was invented by Walt Disney himself. He invented the term hocus pocus.
That's a good guess, but that is not true.
Okay.
This goes all the way back to the 1600s, probably before that, because there are some variations upon this. But hocus pocus was a name commonly adopted by a juggler or a magician. The name or the words hocus pocus were often chanted during tricks involving a sleight of hand, but it is believed to be a perversion of the Latin blessing from the Catholic Mass, and it's Latin version is hoc est corpus meum, which basically means this is my body. So when you do your new moon intentions, and witches for thousands of years have said this, a version of this, you are actually manifesting with your finger, which is our truest wand, is our finger. And when we say hocus pocus, we're really saying this is my body. And with my body, I command this. Hocus pocus. So I love that. So now I think that next time you do your manifestations or you light your candle,
use your finger.
Your finger is your ultimate. And I'll tell you, there's some very good evidence.
Ladies,
about
you
this.
Hear that out there?
Oh my God!
Your finger is your wand.
Sometimes it has to
That's
be.
That's what you're telling him.
Oh my God! I don't know why this goes like this. It was such a lovely moment for me.
You just said that your
only
finger
you,
is your.
Only you think about that, but we have talked about the idea of energy and energy going in through your left side and out through your right.
What if you're left-handed?
I knew you were
going
to ask me that. Maybe it's backwards. Maybe like it runs the opposite way for you.
I'm sorry. I'm left-handed. And there are some people out there, not many of them, but there are those who are left-handed. And I'm mm-hmm. speaking to those people.
Okay.
Saying,
well,
know,
I am
which
also
way is it?
Ambidextrous. So I will use either finger.
I'm not sure what that word means.
Yes, you do. I will use either finger to command this intention.
Your
focus,
wand.
Focus, my wand. That's it. I'm it was a wonderful moment and I feel like it's lost on you.
No, it's fine.
That's fine. So anyway.
It's beautiful, actually.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. He doesn't mean this. So anyway, that's what I thought was kind of nice. So as we approach this next full moon, we had a lovely day today. We live in Pennsylvania. It's been cold and dreary and not quite snowy, which we really, really were hoping, my kids and I, for a snow day.
Oh, no.
But today we got this beautiful sunny day and it was warm, and I went outside with the dogs and I sort of sat, and Teddy and I envisioned where my garden's gonna go. And this past couple few days we've done some winter sowing, getting ready for it, sort of connecting with the next phase of, I have felt like I didn't wanna do very much outside of the house for the last several weeks, ever since Christmas was over. I really felt like I needed to just kind of
focus on building the home.
Yes, and but that's this time. This time is really a time to be planted, a time to plan and rest. So if you feel like you don't want to get out of your pajamas, or you just want to sit by the fire with a cup of coffee and a good book, this is the time to do it, because soon it will be time to
prosper.
Yeah, the sun will be back out and it will be the next turn. And I got some divine intervention.
What do you mean? How so?
Well, I was going through...
What divine intervention? What
are you talking about? I was going through all my seeds and I was organizing things.
Oh, you mean when Tulip got into your seeds and ate some?
I don't understand how these things happen. But yes, before that, I was planning my garden out and I was going through some old things. And I kid you not, I found a pristine book that when I went through it was my grandmother's. And the book is called Your Magical Guide to Planting. To gardening.
This is
your
recurring theme, like with you and your grandmother. There seems to be like a real link there. Almost.
Yes. Well, I told
you. I mean, you know.
Yes.
If it's,
so my material. Yes.
Like a real connection between her life and your life.
Yes.
And also, by the way, Tulip is our little dog. She's a terrier. We've got two larger dogs who are working dogs. One is a Labrador and the other is a Bloodhound. But the little dog is downstairs in a kennel. Not all the time, but she...
Currently.
She was in her kennel today. And she rocks her kennel back and forth sometimes because she gets excited.
Who doesn't?
So anyway, she banged on the kennel with such force that that the bags of seeds or whatever, the packages of seeds fell off the shelf and fell into her kennel, and she ate some of the seeds.
It's fine.
So, yeah, she's like a bat in that respect. She's going to just transfer them back into the ground.
Okay. I guess. Well, there were tomato plants, so I don't know about that, but okay. But yes, I've had recently had these just connections with my grandmother. My maternal grandmother lived with my mom and then me growing up, and she passed away when I was 14. She was sick before that. She was blind. She went blind in her 20s. And I think I've spoken about this before. My mom was, some of this stuff, my mom was a staunch Catholic and really believed in that. And I love the ritual of that. And my grandmother was Catholic too, but she brings some of the, I would call, the old world traditions and some sort of thing. Now looking back, I can reflect and say she was doing things that I do now, stirring her coffee with intention, counting, doing these rituals. And so yeah, I'm connecting with her, I think, in a different way. So I found this book, and in this book, it's from 1941. It's in wonderful condition. Was my grandmother, she had things tabbed in it, and but my mom had also added things to it from like Better Homes and Gardens and Family Circle that later when my mom got a hold of it.
Sounds about
she
right.
Pulled out all the papers, and I know she probably never grew one of the things she did.
No, but
that's
she
okay.
She probably kept everything.
Like, but that's okay.
Oh, look at this article. Let's save this. Let's put this in this book and save it for the next 20
years. That's exactly what she did. Because
you never know when you might need it. Except you never used it ever.
She was very much, when she hoarded paper like that, and she would rip out paper or articles that, and then she always had it beside her chair.
You don't know.
You don't know, Jason. So I've taken that book and I've put it on my altar. So today I'll talk a little bit about what my altar looks like. And Teddy and I are probably the ones that are most consumed about it. So I'll tell you a little bit about that. So as we prepare for the next holiday or season, or as we like to call it, the next turn of the year in the witch's wheel. Imbolc is upon us, and that happens February 1st. And some people call it Bridget's Day or Candlemas Day, maybe you've heard. In the United States, we always celebrate Groundhog Day, which is one of my favorite holidays. And I am dying to plan a trip to Punxsutawney. We live in Pennsylvania, so that is not out of the realm of possibility. And every year when I do a lesson for my kids at school, I always talk about how my dream is to go to Punxsutawney for Groundhog's Day. And I think it's attainable. So what this holiday, this season, this turn of the witch is for, is just really this idea that this awakening from winter into spring is coming, that we are approaching longer days and warmer light, and we can see spring is on the horizon. It's a Celtic hearth tradition, and because of that, it sort of harkens back to my kind of Irish roots, and Bridget is the goddess that people most associate with this. And she is known for
Bridget?
Bridget.
That's the D. Goddess's name?
Mm-hmm. And she's pictured
the
with
D?
It's B-R-I-G-I-D, not T. Bridget.
B-R-I.
B-R-I-G-I-D. Bridget.
G-I-D.
With a D.
Bridget.
And she's shown with striking red hair. And she's the goddess of healing, poetry, smith crafts, and fertility rights.
Blacksmith?
Yes. Fertility rights in her maiden form. She's one of those triple goddess where she comes in three different forms. But embarks on the new fertility and the early spring, the quickening of the earth, that kind of thing. Some people know this as the lambing season because, you know, animals begin to
birth their
babies. They're now, you know, round.
Carrying
them. Yes. Yes.
Caring.
So it actually comes from the old Irish word, meaning in the belly, from that season. So I particularly love this one because I'm not the biggest fan of spring. I think spring, especially in Pennsylvania, it's just wet and dirty for me. I don't like it.
You don't like winter. You're not a particular fan.
Okay, well, if I have to list them, I love summer and fall.
Let's list them now. Let's rank them.
I don't know. It's a tie between.
One through four. Explain.
Fall, summer, winter, spring. Spring is my least favorite. It's just wet and cold, and I don't like it. But it leads me to summer, which I love.
What about, so you're saying that like
what?
50% of the year you don't like?
Correct. Yeah, I'm not thrilled of, but I live here, but I enjoy the seasons.
Where
so
would
yes.
you prefer to live?
I guess I like here.
No, you clearly don't. I'm just saying.
I find the rain depressing sometimes.
If that's how you feel, then which area of maybe this country or elsewhere?
Well, what is a good place
just
in the
keep
country?
It to the U.S. Hold on.
That skips
let's just keep it to the
spring.
Let's just keep it to
what?
Excuse me. We don't have a cough button.
I'm getting one.
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
So, let's just keep it to here in the U.S.
Okay.
You know, for now, because
right.
I don't think we're world travelers to this point.
Right.
So, where in the U.S. would you prefer to?
I don't think you
could magically snap your fingers.
I don't think so. There isn't one. I enjoy summer and fall, but I love to see the snow fall every once in a while. I'm a four seasons girl, so I'm okay with this.
But you just
What I would love?
I
would love winter here to be cold. And I want it to be snowy and cold until it's not. And then I want the spring to come and then just
all
be
of a
hot.
Sudden come?
Yes.
Poof.
Well, I want it to go from 32 and snowing
to like
to
60.
71. Because before that, I'm cold from 70 below. Yes. And then I would love a 70 degree spring and then right into summer. I think it's reasonable.
So like Florida?
No, with that, I don't get winter. And I can't wear a sweater in the fall. I love fall. I love the leaves.
People in Florida wear sweaters occasionally.
Okay, back to this. So what I do love about this particular celebration is that it embodies sort of this fire festival and kind of building your hearth before the spring. And I today was 50 and I still had the fire on, so I'm not giving it up.
I have to say,
I love my fire.
I have to say that my wife, so we have a fireplace upstairs and down.
It's my very favorite place.
And she has done a tremendous amount of work. She's put in real time and real thought into decorating our home. And she really does. We should take some pictures. I should take some pictures and post them. Because not only does she, you know, talk about these things, but she really, you know, she lives her life that way. And that she does, she decorates, you know, this house where we live. And she celebrates these seasons just like she, you know, talks about with you guys out there. So,
well, I'd like to think I walk in practice. Yes.
Yeah. You yes. Practice what you preach.
I do. And this, and I've said this before, this is truly our home. It's the first home I've ever lived in that was mine, that it was ours.
You just said ours and now you just said it's
no,
yours.
No. Mine. That we've built it together, but that I have felt like you and I have built exactly what we would want with literally nobody's input. Well, we now, one person wanted, has given me their opinion, and I love that.
We wanted an older home.
I did.
And that's just what we, that's just, you know, that was our intention.
Yes.
And, you know, that's how it played out.
And every decision I've made and every color I've chosen or everything that I... Every decision has been a conscious decision to choose what I liked and not one that I don't care about resale value because I'm never leaving. I don't care what other people think when they enter my home. I often get, my goodness, it looks like your house looks aesthetically older than maybe a person my age would have. Okay, that's great. I don't care. It's exactly what I want for our family.
What I want for it our is. Family.
Well, because I've said, well, because you are so generous with me that you give me the room to create this.
Yeah.
It's so fine. That's what I mean.
Whatever makes you happy.
Whatever makes me happy, yes. So when you're thinking about this in block, you know, that's coming up in block, we think and we make correspondences and connections with some of your hero, Bridget's cross, which I have on my altar. I'll talk about that. But an Irish cross from Ireland that's been passed down in my family. Candles, light lanterns, maybe early spring flowers. I always think of greenery and seeds. Animals, think of hibernating animals like badgers and bats and bears. Squirrels and groundhogs, lambs. Teddy put a little bunny on ours, which I love. Think about sacred hearth fires and planting your seeds and really cementing and planning for the things that will come. Maybe some buttered bread if you're honoring the deity, some honey, some syrup, maple syrup, milk, oats, grains, those sort of things. When you're thinking about herbs, you can connect with basil, blackberry, bay, cinnamon, chamomile, sage. I really think of those kitchen spices that we have on hand. Bells, drums, singing bowls are fantastic. Stones, I always have a little clear quartz. I have the citrine and the amethyst, and then I have a lot of the green varieties like moss agate and green aventurine and stuff like that. So we can think of blessings, cleaning, maybe spring cleaning that's coming up, fertility, purifying, rebirth, renewal. This is the time for all of that. So that's what we're working with over here. It's a great time to sort of take inventory of what you have, what you still want to make. I've been doing a lot of tinctures and a lot of canning bone broth because I'm home to do that. I've prepared some anointing oil that we'll have later after it fully, you know, does its job and sits for a while. So that's what's happening. Questions? You're like, that's fantastic.
No, I don't have any.
Okay. Well, so the next thing that I really wanted to talk about that kind of leads us to this is what about altars, right? So I do plan and change my altars around these seasons. Just like I do, Jason was saying about my house, my fireplace in our living room is, for me, very seasonal. So I change it often. The decor, I do. I change it for the season or the holiday, and I update that. And then I also do my altar. So currently, and my altar, and Teddy and I did this together. Sometimes our altars are really small, sometimes they're large, but I've just recently thought about it in a slightly different way that I kind of wanted to share, because I've been, something kind of resonated with me that I wanted to share with you that about altars, and it's a new way of kind of looking at it for me. So I tend to be very, I'm not set in my ways, but I pull from old traditions. And I grew up as a Roman Catholic, right? And for me, I would go to church, I would light a candle, I would say a prayer, it was in the same spot. In my home, we had the Bible in the same spot, and we had a nativity for Christmas, and it was very stationary and sort of kind of, you know, rigid in that kind of way. And I'm gonna try really hard over the next year and work with Teddy, because he likes this aspect of putting things out and making these altars or these sacred spaces. To have it be more fluid, because I think sometimes we hold really tight to those old constructs that it has to be stationary and it has to be very sort of fixed. Like, this is where we keep our stuff.
Like the altar? Well, yeah. The problem is with Teddy, I mean, I don't know, it's not a problem, but he collects so much stuff.
I know.
That is all over our house.
Right. But I think he's got it right.
Crystals.
But I think he has it more right than I have it. So what I've really thought of it is, if I'm going back to kind of the old ways.
How does he have it? When you say he has it right, what do you mean?
So he works with things very naturally and fluid. Yes. Whereas I do this. Oh, this new season is coming up.
Because he's a child, he's free flowing.
Yes. And I will say,
I like this. This is what I'm going to put out.
Well, I think it goes a step beyond that. But I'll say, okay, this new season's coming up. Let me pledge this area. Let me clean it off. And then let me decide what goes back up.
You're an adult, though. You're looking at it through the lens of, like, you know, you're the adult.
Right.
Whereas he's just like, this is what I like. This makes me feel good.
Right.
This, and so I'm going to do it. I mean, he has stuff all over our house.
What I think we should aspire to, because he is working with deities in their natural state. So, for instance, if you're working with, and he will tell me, like, I work a lot with Hecate, and she is known she's known for the crossroads and for keys and things like that.
Yeah, but he doesn't talk with the deities. He just...
I think he connects with things in a very fluid and natural way. So where I would gather the things to honor this deity and put it in this spot, he doesn't do that. What he says is, oh, well, keys belong to doorways. So I'm going to wear this key today, but I'm also going to keep it on this window ledge. Or I'm going to, because that makes sense to work with there. Or for instance.
Why does he pick up rocks around the neighborhood?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He feels compelled to bury things in the backyard or by the fire, because that's where he believes that we should work with them, right?
Yeah.
Totally makes sense with me.
Today, we were outside walking. And he was on his hoverboard, and he stopped his hoverboard to then get off, walk over to this lady's rock garden, and right in front of me, he picked up a rock. He was going to take it.
Yeah,
and
he does like that.
No, you can't take that lady's rock.
Right.
Put it down.
So just looking.
He's like, why? I'll paint it and bring it back. I'm like, no, we're not, we can't.
No. But just looking forward to, like, Bridget is this odd Irish goddess, right? She's associated and known with, like, fires and the hearth. So maybe we move our altar to the fireplace or outside to honor her, because that's what pagans did long ago. That was what pagan worship was, where you worship amongst nature and you bring it within your home. So if you're worshiping something about with a water deity or something, then maybe you should be putting it in the bathroom where there's water, as opposed to a fixed altar. And then that leads me to, you know, talk about, if you're somebody who doesn't want this in your house, like, you're not, like, open to your family.
Do it outside?
Maybe. But no, maybe keeping it on your person or in a smaller version. We have those little organza bags that they put crystals in when you go to stores, or jewelry, and they pull them tight, and they hold those little, you know, the little see-through bags, right? And create your little altar in there. So put the crystal that you resonate, some herbs, some sort of symbol.
You could do anything with it.
You could
put it in your car. You could keep it, like, keep it at work in your desk, whatever you think, whatever resonates. Listen, sometimes I think, like, this is not...
It's
like,
not.
Whatever makes you feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
If that means putting it in your car, if it means you wear, a pendant or some kind of necklace and put it, and it's against your skin, if you put it, you know... Like a crystal. I mean, I don't have crystals or anything.
Yes.
But but you know, it resonates with you, and obviously, you know, a couple of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, Teddy, like 100%.
Yes.
But you know, I'm not gonna like, you know, belittle anybody or credit whatever. Like,
no.
That's
no.
what you.
Yes. Whatever what, feels comfortable for you.
Yeah.
So I was going to talk to you a little bit. I was just going to read a little bit from Linda West's book, Modern Witch. So if you haven't got this book, I really like it. It's Modern Witch, A Beginning Guide to Witchcraft, Spells and Magic by Linda West. And she writes a little bit about altars in this book. And she says that they are your own special area that's dedicated to you and your workings. This is a reminder, incorporate it into your life and remind yourself that you are creating your life with intention. So you can fill it with whatever you want. But she always says, bring things that bring you joy and that you love. So something that's nature-based, like flowers or herbs or crystals, maybe even pictures of your loved ones or your favorite deity or pet or something you feel kinship with.
Scale.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's our old dog, Scale. Mm-hmm.
They're very private, but you certainly can disguise them if you don't feel comfortable for sharing yet.
No, a picture of our old dog, Scale. Perfect.
Some people, though, don't like to keep them in their bedroom because they want that place to be clear and maybe not so open to other things. And that is just fine. Move it to where you feel comfortable. If things are disturbing your sleep, by all means, move them. But you can do, you know, it's what you intend for that altar
so
to be.
The more that we talk about this, the more it reminds me of, like, you know, Law of Attraction,
mm-hmm.
like in terms of, you know, like creating intentions,
yes.
and like pre-paving.
Yes.
I mean, really, but that's what you're, you know, you're, at least it seems to me like you're creating, it's like a physical manifestation of things that you want to accomplish or you want to be.
Yes, absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And I think that as a mom, I just want my children to have this freedom and this knowledge that they can create the life that they love, create the life that has meaning for them. And that's all I'm trying to do is live my life with intention and allow and showing them that path. And then I'm very excited to see what they do with it. It brings me great joy when I see Teddy next to his altar, which he commandeers mine. But the other day he lost his tooth and he was so excited. So he took his tooth, he put it in my gold bowl.
Teddy's altar, the one that's in the corner of the living room.
Yeah, by the front door. I mean, it was ours, but now it's
no,
his.
No, it's his.
He's taken over. But he stood with his tooth in the gold bowl, and he closed his eyes, and he said, Tooth Fairy, it's Teddy Ritter, and I am giving you my tooth, and you can give me whatever you want in return. And he just had his eyes closed and his hands outfolded. No one has taught him any of this. And
he does
some of these things very naturally, but that is what was special for him. And then we got the biggest kick out of it because I have these wonderful candles that are electric. They go on with a remote and they flicker like real candles.
Right.
Well, I have a set on my mantle and there's one that's always been finicky. Like it doesn't come on no matter how many times I replace the battery, but then it'll go on its own. So I move that one strange candle next to the altar, and I'll be darned if the candle didn't go on.
Burns forever.
Right. When he talked, when he said that, and it stayed on for the last
it's
two
like,
weeks.
It's him.
It's
so
him.
What, well, you always think of it, well, like I think of, what is he going to do?
I don't know.
As an adult?
I don't know.
So he could be, you know, like a military, you
know,
something like that. Or he could be like a TV evangelist and,
oh God, I hope
bilks
not.
Everybody out of their money too.
No, I hope not. I don't know.
Oh man.
And I don't know. It's interesting to see. I'm happy that he hasn't lost some of his
His chutzpah.
His chutzpah.
No, he's that, matter of fact, it's going strong.
He's seven and he is going strong.
I don't
think
he's gonna lose it.
Yeah, the only thing that made me sad is that we had gone to one of his favorite shops that, by the way, he stole money to go there because he had...
Let's tell him the whole story.
Okay, so he said to me, Mom, after school today, will you take me... He has a couple favorite shops locally. And I said, because he wanted to buy some Christmas... He likes to shop. So I said, he had some Christmas money. And I said, sure. So he grabs his wallet and off we go. And he's at the shop and he wants to know what he can buy. And he wants to put things up on the counter so that we can purchase them. And I said, okay. And then I you know, he always wants to buy a lot. And then I said, well, let me see how much money you have. And I opened his wallet and immediately realized that he had way too much money in there than he was supposed to. So I didn't say anything in the shop. And I said, well,
it's because he steals. He manifested the money.
That's exactly what he said. So we...
He said he manifested.
No, he did. I'll tell you what he said. So we bought a couple things that he wanted, took the rest home. He was happy. He walked in and I said to him, hey, buddy, I know that in this wallet is money that's not yours. And he goes, uh-huh. I go, you can tell me right now where you got it from. Well, he goes around to his brothers and sister's rooms, or sister room and his brothers, and he takes their money. And I said, okay, well, that's not fair. You can't take theirs because it's not yours. And he said, well, they don't care. And I said, well, I think they do. They just don't even know it's missing.
No, they don't.
Well,
if they cared, they'd say something.
No, they don't. They want their money back.
It's okay.
So we tried to figure out what he took and we took it out. And as he turned to walk away, he was mad at me, I'm sure. But as he turned to walk away, he goes, that's okay. I'll create more.
And he did say that.
I'll create.
I heard it.
I'll create more.
It was great. It was the greatest. I'll just make more.
Yeah.
I'll just create it.
But so anyway, when he was at this little shop, he's been very much into the evil eye. So he wanted to buy a ring and he has a couple things. So, but then he said when he went to school, because that somebody made fun of him and that, well, they were teasing him that he was married because he had a ring. But for whatever reason, it teased him very much. And then he said he lost the ring, but he told me before that he threw it out. And that made me sad because I want him to be his own person, but he'll figure
it out.
That's
okay. That's a good lesson for him.
I don't want him to feel embarrassed of who he is.
No, he's not. Well, that's a good lesson. Yeah. Listen, it's a good lesson for him. It's okay.
Yes. Well, I'm okay.
And besides,
he's okay.
Go back and get him another
ring.
We'll
have to go back and get him another ring.
And you wear it. You tell them, screw you. Mm-mm. You know, I said, punch him in the face.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Well, we brainstorm a little bit together what we could do because the ring
punch him in the face.
No, it's so terrible. That the ring was a little bit too big anyway, that we would put on a necklace
underneath his shirt.
Yes. So we have a plan or on his book bag and whatever.
Listen, if you're getting bullied at school, you know, that's what you do.
Well, one of our affirmations that we say to each other, we'd like say in the morning, we'll say, I am strong. I am strong. I am brave. I am brave. I am smart. I am smart. I help others. I help others. I will defend myself. I will defend myself. I will defend others.
Defend others, yes.
So you can defend yourself if somebody hurts you.
But what about Bo?
He does too much of that. Bo.
Bo is, he does a lot of fighting at school.
Yeah.
Hand-to-hand combat in preschool.
Stop. He's such a baby. But you know what he gravitates for? He'll say, I am love. Yeah, I am Bo. I am a big boy. I love my mommy. Like, he's much more...
Simple. Simple.
Yeah. Well, no, different. He's just different. He's just different. They all are different. So, that's a little bit about alters. They can travel. Put them in your car with you if you need a quiet place and that resonates with you. I have a couple little crystals and some special rocks and a little place on my desk at work that I've kept some things that make sense and that I love. Candles are wonderful. It's your go-to.
On my finger, I have... What is this?
Hemolite.
Ring? What is the purpose of it?
Well, if it breaks, it means that it did its job to protect you from some sort of negative attack. And you've broken quite a few.
I think I've broken one. I broken more than
moissanite crystals that you have
more in. Than one?
Yes.
I have?
Yeah. This is your third ring.
Jeez, I got a lot of...
It works, I guess.
I mean, I need a lot of help in the world in this world, I guess.
Right. And then, you probably shouldn't accept cookies from others. That's what that ring means.
What is... That's
an
inside joke about a...
Jason's wedding
peer
ring.
Of ours that gave me a cookie.
She's fine.
And my wife was very upset that another woman gave me a cookie.
I'm very
a
jealous.
Sugar cookie.
It is my cross to bear.
It was ridiculous. It wasn't even... Talking about that? That's crazy.
I just like to think that I treasure you so much that I think others
You're the only one that does. What is this ring?
This one I had made for you, your wedding ring, and it has a bunch of...
You had it made for me.
I had it made from you by a company. It's a Viking company.
By trolls.
Yes. It was handcrafted in Middle Earth. And yes, Gollum, and it's just for you. So, and it's inset with some special crystals.
There you go.
Yeah. In resin.
Makes me run fast.
It doesn't?
No, okay. Not at all.
Okay. So that's what I have.
Hold on.
All right, Jason's up. Good. Let's go.
Oh, wait.
It's you.
Well, I'm not ready.
Well, I just talked about all kinds of love and light and how to take care of your own intentions, and now you're going to tell me how that matters.
This is how to bring it all down and bring yourself back down in the
back
mud.
Back to reality.
And here we go.
Okay.
This is for everybody out there who believes that the world is coming to an end.
Oh my gosh.
You're not alone. Because in 1947, so just post-World War II, right?
Yeah. It was
from 41 to 45. Yeah. So there was this group called the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists.
That sounds made up.
No. Well, it says here that this is a group who helped to develop the atomic bomb.
Okay.
All right. Now, so what they did, they were from the University of Chicago. Okay?
I bet some of them were Nazis.
I mean, it's possible.
Like Operation Paperclip, we stole the Nazis.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
So they developed this idea of the doomsday clock, which to me seems more like a symbol than a real sort of tangible thing.
Like, how can you quantify it?
Right. But whatever the case, it says here that the doomsday clock warns how many metaphorical minutes to midnight humanity has left.
Okay.
Set every year by the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists.
So they're still around?
Yes, wow. Every year. It is intended to warn the public and inspire action.
Well, what do you want me to do about a nuclear bomb?
I guess... I don't know. What kind of question? I don't know how to even answer.
Should I can food? I'll can more food.
I don't know how to answer questions about warfare.
I don't.
Okay. Anyway, so at first it was, this idea to warn us about the dangers of nuclear warfare.
Okay.
Because obviously, you're looking at this time period and this group was created in 47, which is obviously, just after World War II had ended.
Right. And then we went to a Cold War.
Right. Now, however, there's also sort of, this other factor known as climate control, now part of climate change, climate control, which is part of the conversation there. So these are the two primary factors, I believe, that they think will lead to, just the...
demise.
Yeah, the world being destroyed.
Do you know what the answer is?
The answer?
The answer is?
In terms of what will lead to the world ending?
How do we fix it?
Well, I don't know, but what I can tell you is...
It was
rhetorical. Last year...
I was going to say mammoths.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
We'll get to mammoths.
He's burying the lead.
Last year, the clock gave us 100 seconds, right?
Okay.
Or what am I saying? 100 minutes, 100 minutes, 100 minutes.
I don't do math. No, I'm just kidding.
This year is down to 90 minutes.
Okay.
So basically all, their point is that we're
closer
to annihilation this year than we were last year.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
So, doomsday clock, Google it, it's a real thing.
Okay, well, can you talk about mammoths?
Okay.
Because I don't know it, but I he told me about this and I was...
Listen.
I don't understand.
I heard on...
Was it
Rogan.
It was on Rogan?
Joe Rogan's show with Forrest Galante.
I didn't finish it.
Okay,
this guy. I found it incredibly boring.
One of his guests is a, I describe the guy. He's kind of like a naturalist biologist. He has TV shows.
Right.
One's called Extinct or Not, I think. He has another show too. Forrest Galante. So, I love animal shows. My wife, she hates them.
I don't hate them.
No, she doesn't like them.
Oh my gosh, I don't hate them.
Do you like them?
I don't like his show, and I don't like the. I never like the
River Monsters.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I love River Monsters.
Who was the guy that died?
Jeremy Wade.
You know the crocodile.
Oh, Steve Irwin.
Hated that show.
Was like my hero.
I don't like the stuff that's overdone that way.
Oh, he's overdone, but he's like a.
I get the purpose of it.
He was a great, you know, just a very unique human.
Right. And I enjoy Planet Earth. If you want to talk about like David Attenborough, I love to like fall asleep to him.
Well, that's because you're trying to fall asleep because it's soothing.
Yes.
So anyway. Forrest was on Rogan's TV show. Or,
podcast.
You know, podcast, yeah.
Yes.
And he was talking about there's this new program that's going on. And it's they're working to bring back the woolly mammoth.
Yeah.
And what this is not, you know, like...
a pipe dream.
Yeah, rumor or scuttlebutt or
anything else. It could happen.
This is like a real project.
Oh, for the love.
That's in the works. So what the scientists were able to find and isolate DNA that was extracted, I guess, from a mammoth.
Right. You know, this and is so, also how Jurassic Park started. This exact scenario.
Yeah, that's why it's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, unless you were eaten by a T-Rex.
Now, because you might be wondering, well, how the hell are they going to have, you know, bring about real mammoths? Because it's, they're obviously extinct.
I had a lot of questions, but this wasn't one of them.
So its closest relative is the Indian elephant.
Okay.
So what they're doing is using the DNA from an Indian elephant.
It doesn't seem okay.
Like splicing it together with the woolly mammoth DNA.
Seems good.
And they're doing it because they want to bring back
I know,
mammoths.
It sounds
but
cool.
Because... now, in terms of, you know, what it will do for nature...
Right.
It could save the polar ice caps.
I know, and I thought about this, because when you said it, I did zero research, looked up zero information, mm-hmm. But I have all the questions. What would be their natural predators? What would control them?
So, right now...
The answer is saber-toothed tigers.
None, because they
so
don't
they're
exist.
An apex
they don't
predator?
Exist right. No, they're not a predator. Mammoths aren't a predator.
Were they omnivores? Mammoths. Herbivores.
No, herbivores.
Okay, well then how do you not have an herbivore population out of control?
First of all, it's not big. They're not here yet.
Oh, okay.
And it's not big enough to, you know, get to that point. But one, I'm just theorizing.
I know. That's
one
a hell
thing
of a proposal, Jason.
Is bring back saber-tooth tigers.
That's a terrible idea.
They could potentially
idea.
Do that. They could also hunt them.
I know. Well, that's what I was thinking, but that's a terrible
So, according to Forrest Galante on Rogan, he was saying that there, that in the Arctic, a problem that they're having is that the polar ice caps are melting.
Right.
So mammoths would work to counter that because of their, I think their sheer weight, like they would.
I don't know.
He said it better than me, but they would.
I mean, obviously, they've looked at this and said, in this food chain, in this ecosystem, that the biome could support this. And
yes.
I guess it has to be a whole new level of
growth. But he was talking about a reason, you know, what, like, the benefits to the on the ecosystem, but I can't recall what it was. I can't remember.
But if you'd like
anymore.
To, you probably should find somebody who knows what we're talking about.
If you want to find out more about that, then
I would
go
to
Joe Rogan.
I'm going to have to listen to the rest of the podcast.
No, he talked about the fact that they... I'm sorry, I got it now. It prevents the... So the sheer size and weight of the mammoths, they're so, you know, big and heavy.
They're fat-shaming the mammoths.
That they kind of pound down the polar ice caps and prevent it from melting, or at least lessen the melting.
Okay.
So, you know.
That's a very strange theory, but I'm here for it.
They would eat seeds and things like that, flora also. And, you know, when they defecate, because, you know, those areas right, you know, are currently like, you know, they are totally barren.
Right.
So it would also bring back, like, you know, plants and grasses and
flowers. Change the whole ecosystem. Kind of.
Yes.
I'm assuming there's people that are smarter than us who have thought this
out. Well, they're certainly smarter than me when it comes to talking about the mammoth.
I did find that was one of the most interesting things you said this
week. It's really awesome. I mean,
I didn't believe him.
I am so excited about that I would. So,
Here's what's happened in the nutshell. The world might be ending, and there's nothing you can do about it, but maybe we'll bring mammoths back.
The plan is they want to bring the population up to, like, 600,000 mammoths.
Jesus.
Over like 1.4 million acres.
Okay.
And it would, in the Arctic, like Siberia and Alaska. So, like, think about that. Like, woolly mammoths in the U.S., in Alaska.
I mean, okay.
That sounds fantastic.
I mean,
it sounds really awesome.
Okay.
Like, we would establish parks, I'm sure. Are we?
I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna say that if something has gone extinct, I think that there is a purpose to that we should.
Not necessarily all the time. If human beings have totally, you know, totally eliminated them, killed them off, that's not the animal's fault.
Well, I'm not assigning blame to an animal. I'm saying if we've already taken them out of the ecosystem, I don't understand why we'd put him back in.
What are you talking? Because.
Seems contrived. But it's not
contrived when you have...
It is the definition of contrived.
No, hold on a second. I'm not a biologist.
Me neither.
But here's the issue. Because, like, you've got prey species now that, you know, that have, like, enormous populations where there's... To take...
What's the prey species for up there? Like,
deer, for example.
Well, that's not a prey. What's going to eat the mammoths?
It's a prey species. Deer, I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of deer, right?
Right.
There's an overpopulation of deer because they're natural predators, things like, you know, wolves and bears and stuff like that. It's either gone or reduced.
So, but what you're... Then your assertion is that the woolly mammoths will compete for resources and therefore decrease the population of the deer?
No, I'm saying
that... The woolly mammoth is going to eat the deer?
No.
Do I just not understand biology? Because it could be that.
Trying to bring back some of these, you know, predators, for example, like the Tasmanian tiger.
Right.
Like the saber-toothed tiger, things like that. Or like reintroducing things like wolves.
I mean, well, that it's being
done because the prey species are just, you know, breeding out of control. If not for hunting, then, you know, like, what would stop?
Well, here's my thing. If you're not going to bring back the dodo bird, then I don't want to talk to you.
Well,
birds are
harder to bring back.
Oh, really?
Apparently, like the DNA...
Oh.
That it takes the work that it takes scientifically to bring back birds are the hardest, you know, like among the hardest.
Who knew? Well, I'm outside my depth here, so I'm going to...
I just thought it was cool to have the mammoths.
I think it's very cool. It was a cool thing.
I don't really feel like
it. But like we can speak
if you
want to
learn more about it, you should...
We're not
listen.
It.
Yeah, you shouldn't be... listening to me.
I'll light a candle for the mammoths. I don't know. You would have set my attentions on
how awesome would that be? Oh, man. Like an NFL franchise could be called the Mammoths.
Wow.
Well, you know what I mean? That's, like how that's great, something. How awesome.
Not one part of me the ever Mammoths? Thought that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I mean, they should, like a pro sports okay. franchise should all be right. called the Mammoths now. Good that's job. What I want.
Okay. Well, listen, everyone has a dream. That's what's happening.
I want to go see him.
Fantastic.
Sabretooth Tiger.
Bring him back.
Woolly Mammoth.
Oh my gosh.
What else? You know what?
It's like Fred Flintstone. I'm going to come up with a,
for next week, I want to come up with a top 10 list.
Nobody asked
of
for this.
Animals. Well, no, I'm going to.
A top 10 animal list of what?
A top 10 list of extinct animals that I think should be brought back.
Well, I said the dodo bird is number one.
That wouldn't be number one. The dodo bird.
It's my
bird.
One and only. I only
but
have
But why
one.
Would that be because at the top list?
Because I want
all right,
it.
All right. Let's do it.
I don't Listen. Have. I'm not doing that. I've lost interest.
You guys out there, if you have any.
By the way, everyone else out there has lost interest as well. So we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to allow Jason to indulge himself in his ridiculous top 10 list. I will participate in none of this, but we will be back next week. We're going to have some more scary stories for you. What are we going to talk about next week? I don't know. Whatever resonates.
The Georgia
Guidestones. Oh yeah, we're gonna just depress everybody all over again.
Yeah, there's that one.
That sounds
and then
good.
There'll be a.
That sounds good.
Top I'm gonna, 10 list of the top extinct animals.
We'll put it at the end in case you don't want to tune in. Anyway, thanks for listening so far, guys, and we hope your week is a little magical. And we'll see you back next week.
All right. See you later.
See ya.